Blog Talk Radio.
The following is suitable for all audiences. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell your loved ones, tell your hated ones, tell even the people you hate about this, because this is a cause everybody needs to get behind. It's a matter of life and death. It's a matter of national security. It's a matter of international security. It's about something that basically affects all of us. You're listening to Cocoonin from the microphone here with DJ Butterfly Feces. One and only. You know, that's how this line is one only. Organic, okay. Organic, come on, speak up. Let me know you're here.
Yeah, this is Comedy Organic Okay. Actually, Organic Okay. I say Comedy Organic Okay because many things that come along with comedy. You know, it's like you can have a side dish, you have a full course comedy introduction, or you have a buffet. I mean, you get multiple options where other comedians and comedy comedians can be involved with it. You know, just venturing in the comedy direction. How's everyone doing today? How you doing today? DJ Butterfly
PC. I'm all right. Thanks to you. You know, you picked me up from the beginning. You took me on. You went on this crazy trip, this mission. And for that, I'm eternally grateful. All right. One and only. All right. Listen, don't just listen. Talk. Get involved. Let us know what you think. Call in. Let us know what you think. We're here at 1-515-605-9709. That's 1-515-605-9709. Let me start from the beginning. It was several years ago that you basically found a hold of me in my hometown of McKinleyville, California, where horses had the right of way. It was a fine place.
Who is debating the horses having the right of way? Is it some kind of organization that's going against the horses having the right of way? No, I heard the effect of the elephant in the room effect, but now the horses debating. Horses say, "I got the right of way." The horses is not sitting there satisfied with the elephant room. No. We're not going to satisfy this actual opposition right here. Elephant in the room. No. It's going to be the horses in the room. Now, for those out there, what's the horse in the room effect be? The horses got the right of way. What's going on here? Is that like that back in the day? Remember that horse? They used to talk on TV? Is it something that got to do with that? Is it an offspring of that horse? Break it down to me, for those that are out there are not familiar with the horse. So tell us about the horse at the right of way. Come on now. You listening?
All right. Now, listen, that's the town mantra, our motto, where four horses have the right of way. And let me tell you something. I rode a lot of horses in my day. I basically played cowboy in a lot of ways. I basically rode horses to and fro. I rode them up and down all over the city. I mean, look, in McKinleyville, we did everything there was to do there. There's a lot going on in McKinleyville. You can do anything you want there. It's Northern California, so it snows, so I've sledded, skied, snowboarded, tobogganed, whatever. But we have a beach there, too, so I've also water skied, parasailed, windsurfed, boogie boarded, all that noise. I've done all that because I can't. Because I was the guy who was basically drifting, you know, just getting by. Just the guy who was basically spending his time in McKinleyville doing everything there was to do there. And there's a lot to do there. I was living it up. I did it all. I did everything there was to do in McKinleyville. I did it all. Now,
you can't do everything because some of the things you'd be doing, you wouldn't be able to even be free right now because that'd be criminal act. So he said everything. And I know people there are doing some things that are criminal act there too. So he said everything. Okay, be clear about everything. Are you being prejudiced or, you know, are you trying to push the, you know, this kind of racist foundation? Oh, that's another conversation. That's zero. Okay, my bad. That's it. Wrong show. As you were saying.
What I was saying was that I did everything there was to do there, but at the same time, I didn't think much about the future, you know, my future in general. I wasn't thinking much about what I was going to do there. Why? Because I thought I could just do the bare minimum, you know, just I'll take any job, whatever, and I'll just sit back and coast through life. Stop back and smell the roses. And once again, there's a lot of that in McKinleyville. What happened was I was spending my whole life being the C average student, just getting by. And what happened was, it's true, I basically wound up with my own basic whatever. I finally graduated. I finally graduated high school. I just got by. C's in everything. And what happened was, I remember thinking, what am I going to do now? Am I going to go to college? Because there, that's the school where you really got to start getting A's. Now, my parents didn't have the money to send me there. I was staying with my family. I still lived at home. My home was their home. And the truth is, I knew my parents didn't want me around. It's not like they wanted time to themselves so they could be together. My parents let me stay as long as they did because otherwise they'd have to talk to each other. They don't want to do that. My parents are the kind of people who didn't want time to themselves. They would like to leave, but then they'd have to basically spend time talking to each other. Even they didn't want that. My parents are the kind of people who stayed together because they didn't really have any other options. They had the energy to leave, the energy to basically build their own place and find somebody else. They didn't have the energy to do that. Now, the truth is, here I was basically, you know, just without, I mean, whatever. For a while, I had my own radio show, just like this one. I had a blog talk radio show. Now, I wasn't a DJ. I didn't just spin records. I was one of those people who basically wanted to use the radio as a format to say, what's wrong with the world? What would be a better place if we just, you know, all that? Anywho, what happened was, there I was, basically just getting by, and my parents were tired of me there. My parents talked about, when are you going to go to school? When are you going to, you know, go out and do something out there in the world? Give us our time together. I want to be away from you. And once again, they kept me around because otherwise I have to talk to each other. And they didn't want to do that. There I was. I thought about trying to get a job or something or whatever, but the truth is, this is sad. This is a sad fact right here. There's not a lot of jobs and vacancy for homes in McKinleyville because the truth is, well, let's be honest now, the city is so cozy and comfy, people want to stay there. Those people who left were people who had to leave, had to go where the work was, and what, they had to move away. And the truth is, things were not so great. Finally, it was around the holidays. I'm serious, around the end of the year, when people were celebrating the end of the year. My father said to me, you got to go. I was depressed, but I left with just the clothes on my back and a backpack that was only halfway full. I didn't have that much to get by. Honestly. I was wondering what I was going to do at this point. What am I going to do with my life now? I walked out. I didn't even look back. Okay, I looked back. I looked back just a little bit. I had to basically see where I was being kicked out of. I thought, maybe this is just a moment. My father's just angry. He's not really going to kick me out. What am I going to do? See, when you first basically lose your residency, you become homeless and whatnot. When you first do, you're still kind of in shock. You're like, okay, come on, this isn't permanent. I mean, come on, I'm going to go back in. I'm not actually one of them, am I? And when it sinks in, like, dear God, I'm on the street now. I'm going to die out here. I'm going to suffer the rest of, I'm really going to suffer. I'm really going to get by. I'm one of them now. You notice there's more and more homeless people wherever you go now, because this is an epidemic. It's been happening. It's a real thing. Anyway, I walked up the creek, the trail, walked up Hammond Trail, the Nine Rivers, and I basically checked out our waterfall. We got a waterfall and all that, you know. And I thought about all the things that were to do there, all the things that I had done and how maybe I hadn't spent enough time preparing for my future. And sure enough, lo and behold, there it was. There was Organic OK, and there was basically him and basically the rest of his ilk, the people he basically was going around there, you know, whatever. He was traveling with a whole entourage of people. And I remember wondering, dang, what are these people about? But I went over there to say hello. I thought I knew everybody here in town. But Organic was just passing through. He just happened to be stopping by at the time. Truth is, I went over there and I basically said hello to all of them, whatever. And I told them my story. So I have a guy who lived in McKinleyville and who was basically always getting by his whole life and didn't think much about the future. And whose own parents had sent him out here to pretty much die. I asked what their story was, all they were about and whatever. And then the biggest one of them all, the big guy, Organic OK, who seemed to almost be elected chief because he was the biggest. He told me how he was going around there and helping the community, picking up garbage, helping the homeless, all that jazz. How he had done all that. And really, how things had become just, you know, I told him my story. I told him everything about me, how I was just coasting by, how it was the holidays and my parents kicked me out around the end of the year when people were celebrating. And how, I don't know what I was going to do now. Maybe I'll go work things back and wind up with them again. I don't know. But then it was Organic who basically told me, he said, join me. Join us on our crusade. Help picking up the trash and whatever, helping the community. Do that. I was taken aback. I could do this. Absolutely. So sure enough, I went with him. And by the end of the year, near the end of the year, we went all the way. We left McKinleyville, California, and basically left the U.S., went all the way to Vicenza, Italy. And I saw what a city it was. I saw what a place. I saw how barren a lot of it was, how it was a beautiful, artistic city, you know. Very much had that way about them, but how, you know, things were bad. How basically these people had a homeless problem, too. They're the same capitalist problem that America's got, and a lot of people were on the street. A lot of them were living in condemned buildings. How to get by them, whatever. I helped them. I helped them, whatever, and then we celebrated New Year's Eve with them. You know, the Italians had a special way of celebrating America. It was a little, New Year's. It was a little better than what America was doing. It was a little better. And how we went all over helping people who needed help. Now, here's the thing. The truth is, we had happened to basically gotten to a real focal point and then reached our critical mass. What are we going to do then? Now, we had been in Nairobi, Kenya, Africa. Like the third world, whatever. Africa, the country where all life originated from. Its humid environment, its lush, fertile area has allowed a lot of life to come from it. But the homeless were living especially bad out there. There was the ongoing heat. There was the fact that they were basically living where they threw the trash. They threw the trash. It was funny. People throw trash away, and they throw people away in the same sort of environment. It was so destitute. And basically, things were bad. Bad. So we picked up a lot of the trash, and we basically, true story, we basically we helped them build their shacks, the little shacks they had of living or whatever. It's 15 minutes after the hour here on the program, 7:15 here on the program, cocooning from the microphone, here with the one and only DJ Butterfly Feces and Organic OK. Organic, you're out there, aren't you? All right.
You know I'm here. I'm just making sure that I don't interrupt your actual conversation. You know what I mean? It's like, as you're telling the DJ Butterfly Feces, you know how you like to imitate and try to sound like me and make me sound like some Muppet or some puppet. And as you're saying, it's the so what you're saying is, I sound like a Muppet or a puppet? So you're trying to mimic me? Now, people hear that and say, man, this dude right here sound like a Muppet or puppet. And that's the possession they have. Yes, well, DJ Butterfly Feces, is imitating. Yeah, as you were saying, I'm sitting to the side, listening. And you're saying I talk like I have not finished chewing up my food, or I'm choking as I'm chewing up my food and trying to talk and possibly swim at the same time. Okay, I got it. I'll be on the sideline listening to the program.
All right. Once again, we invite you all to come in this conversation. Tell us what you're thinking. We're here at 1-515-605-9709. That's 1-515-605-9709. Now, please, let yourself be heard. We spent all that time in Nairobi, Kenya. I couldn't wait to leave it. Organic said that we needed to stay there, whatever, because this was a place that needed help. It especially needed help, and I agree. I complain about the heat and the bugs, just the filth everywhere, but then Organic told me. You remember what you told me? You said, try to imagine being somebody who lives there, who has to live with all this and whatever. I asked, where are we headed next? Because the truth is, once again, see, it's not until it's time to leave that I basically regret the fact that we're leaving. Because all I could think about was, dang, what now? I mean, and also, did we help enough? Did we help enough? Did we help enough? Should we have stayed there a little bit longer? It always feels like basically we could have helped more than we had. That's a good sign, you know. It means that you're actually trying. Anyway, we left. We basically, it was time to go. And there we were, basically flying the plane all the way back. I said, where to next? Organic said, we're going home. I was taken aback. We're going to head, where am I going back to McKinleyville already? I thought about it a while to see my parents. I wonder if they missed me. Did they miss me? Do they regret the fact that they kicked me from my home? Do they regret the fact that I was basically expelled? Did they? What next? I thought about that. I also thought about, well, dang, where are we headed now? Apparently we were just headed back to America. America. You told me we're headed back to America. And basically we headed to Tennessee. Nashville, Tennessee, the birthplace of country music. That's where country music is more ambient there than anywhere else. I had to admit, I was actually looking forward to it. I was actually, now, once again, as a child, most of my life, I only spent time at McKinleyville. I didn't know about the rest of the world. I wanted to spend time in other interesting, exotic locations, but every single city started to feel the same because we just spent our time basically trying to pick up the trash and help the homeless. The same thing. Even Organic told me, in this city, we're going to partake in some of, you know, the cuisine. We're going to go to some shows. We're going to basically indulge ourselves in the city. But first, we got to help the people there. So I was once again picking up garbage. They had less garbage than Nairobi had. The weather was nicer, too. It was basically sort of a better place. I said, Don't beat yourself up too much. I know I was feeling guilty about the fact that I complained the whole time we were in Nairobi. But think about it. Honestly, we picked up all that garbage. We helped them build their shacks. We made at a better place. The question is, could we do the same thing here? Now, there's not going to be a lot of wide open space and whatever to build shacks and whatever. There's not. But also, there wasn't much garbage either. Once again, we cleaned it up. I heard about shootings and deaths that went on there. You know, it's funny. When you go to a first world country, some of the biggest threat people have is from themselves. They'll find a way to destroy themselves. They always do. I heard about it and whatever. And I was anxious to go to a show to hear country music from McKinleyville itself. I was anxious to hear that. I was anxious. Whatever it might be, might be. Basically, we spent a lot of time. One thing is, the best country music I heard on the streets. There were lots of vagrant people who were basically had their acoustic guitars playing, and they had basically their own sort of magic. And music is better when you hear it on the street, where it's raw, where it's real, where it's natural. Not hearing on some pre-recorded disc. I wasn't basically always the biggest fan of country music. I didn't think that much about it. But now that we were hearing it in the homeland of where country music flourishes, it was beautiful. It was beautiful. I heard a guy basically, a one-man band basically sort of play this sort of country music himself. And I was in awe. But once again, the question remained, how was I going to help him? I would give him some loose change, but I didn't have any money. Organic's paying for everything. I mean, dang. What to do,
Paying me something? I would be not paying for anything.
But
not me.
Yeah, I mean, you said you're...
I would not compensate. I would not discuss anything with dollars. Whatever you want to call it across the nation, from where you're from. No, I would not say that. Whispering. Now, this is comedy, organic, okay. And I'm whispering. I don't sound the same no more. Now, feces.
Mm-hmm.
What is the story that you was telling me about your troubles and how you was enjoying yourself so much? But then you did a lot of saying, do we have to do this? What is all that about? Do we have to? You sound like you was getting in trouble. By your parents, that's what you were saying. My parents, is, they will not like this. I said, what they don't know won't necessarily hurt you. As you were saying, DJ.
As I was saying, I came across a lot of musicians. I mean, once again, you remember we went to a show. We actually went to see a concert show, a collection of real country musicians just playing out there. And they had a passion. They had a magic. And I'm speaking this as somebody who wasn't born pretty much a country music fan. But I was entranced. I was enchanted by all this. I was under a spell. And these expressions, whatever. But somehow it wasn't as magical as the guys on the streets.
That's the thing. I just always liked the country music, man. Always. I can't remember a time I did not know of country music. Now, the thing is, I think, and we have to take into consideration, you are a person in your life, in being a native of McKinleyville. Could you reach back and think about comedians or comedies or DJs or jocks that introduce different types of formats that you can connect with and others really like? Can you look back to yourself at a time where, you know, because let me ask you this, Mr. DJ, do you mind people know your age?
No, it's not a big deal. I mean, I used to be kind of sensitive about it, but now I'm just decided to embrace it. We all get old. Time just moves ahead, you know.
Yeah. But, see, this is the thing. As you've been romantic, as you've seen something, right?
Yeah.
You know, I've seen plenty of guys had a great, wonderful time, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that got them is, as they're joining, so some particular person decides to tell, you know, that person wasn't old, that you was dating, and the woman say, you this old? You didn't tell me this old. Now, that can be, you know, a bittersweet moment because we're at a time, depending on part of the world, you may have women that will financially connect with you because of money, but they say, well, I won't date you because you're too young. So now one is considered, they say, business, and one is considered love. I won't date you because of love interest because you're too young. But we have to look at, this is the thing, Bonafide PC, do people realize that your access and your resources have changed? Just like you were talking about from grade school to college. But after college, the executives and those that actually had a hard time dealing with the format of what things were set up. Now, in your scale, as you start being interacting, as you start being more connecting with others on an international level, your access of what's going on is not the same frequency. So you're not oppressed by what, you know, I don't know who started, I don't know if it started in the States, because you go into other countries and you have other set of platforms. And now this is the thing. I hear this a lot as being okay, you know, with the old and the period and the K and the period. See, that stirred up in what happens organic, and that brought life of comedy, brought life of expression. I hear all the time. In my space, limitations haven't found my directions. I say, hey, I'm bored with that kind of behavior. Someone's giving me a narrative and trying to present this kind of toxic behavior. It's not fitting to the masses. Those out there have really seen what the masses and those that never have been limited by that actual conversation. That is a conversation where a man, as they say, a man is supposed to be the leader, right? And we have those that are leaders, or is that technically a man based on the house? But technically, man is traditionally supposed to lead the house, correct? And as you're leading doesn't mean that you actually have limitations of what you can do as one that follows. This is comedy, organic, okay? And you're listening to Kakuna for the microphone. Now, DJ Butterfly Feces has been narrating and conversating with me and telling me some stories. Now, DJ Butterfly Feces, your last words?
All right, fine. We made a mark in Nashville, Tennessee. It was a beautiful city, honestly, and we made it more beautiful. We basically encouraged the homeless shelters to take in a few more people, and we basically did our best to try to get them to campaign to get another homeless shelter out there. Once again, I told you, in big cities, big things happen. There were a few homicides in the street, whatever, but the problem is you can't save everybody. But the whole point is Organic taught me to always try to come close. Save as many people as possible, whatever. You can pick up all our shows on blogtalkradio.com. I want to thank you all for listening to Kakuna for the microphone. Remember, you can call Lynn, call the show when it's on the air at 1-515-605-9709. That's 1-515-605-9709. Thank you for listening. Thank you for getting involved. And good night.